in South Africa, Milani, and their three daughters. And you can take the mother out of South Africa, but you can't take the... You can take the mother out of South Africa, but you can't take... I got that wrong. Anyway, Milani's a mother. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say, however I'm supposed to say it. And Milani, it's so good to have you with us, not just because you're holding one of our sleeping children, but because we know that what Hercules does, he does because of your support, and you also do as a family. And we look forward to one day, hopefully soon, when your three daughters will also come. But Hercules, thank you again for ministering. He's been traveling quite a bit, and we'll be here for the week, and Hercules will also preach next week. So please, somebody you invited and they said no, or you thought I'm too late to invite them this week, please invite them next week. Hercules, we thank you and we honor you and we receive you in Jesus' name.
Okay, guys, it's great to be here. It's amazing. It's amazing to do some catch-up, eh? Relational time together, and we are excited about what God is doing. It was beautiful yesterday to see what God is doing, even in the neighborhoods that we are walking in. I'm very tired this morning after walking the whole of Weybridge, and then afterwards carrying the piano there at Rob's house. So I see you guys are using the guests very good. No, it's amazing. No, we really had an awesome time. And it's such a blessing just to experience the peace of God. Let's quickly get into the Word. I've got more than what we can cover in one session, but hopefully we can get as far as possible, and then next week I will go on. So I'm laying down some foundations, and I would really want to trust that God is going to speak into your heart. Please make some notes if you can. I trust that God is actually revealing this to us as we go along. I don't have all the answers, but I know that this is a word in season. I know that this is something that God is stirring in all of our hearts, and I believe this is one of the solutions to breaking the yoke of the season that we're in. I want to trust that God is going to do, just this morning, start to stir something, and hopefully next week we will get back to the theme and even touch some deeper stuff as we go along in and trusting God for London. I've been to Canada last week. We had a group of people together there, about 18. They're very excited in us coming to Canada and starting something in Canada. Hopefully soon we'll be able to do something special in Canada as well. I've been to Utrecht, to the Netherlands. When was it? From Tuesday. Where's Richard? Tuesday to Friday. Amazing time that we had there with the guys, and it's special to as Richard said, we met with a few of the guys in the local churches there in Utrecht, and just to see that God is corporately, globally, doing something special in the hearts of the people. So let's get to the Word. I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 18, and before we read the scripture, I want to just say that the season that we are figuring out is God's building. And I want to build on that this morning. I trust that this is one of the building blocks. And what I believe God is building is He's building His kingdom. And I think you would agree with me this morning, but I don't think that we always know what kingdom means. Okay, what does it entail? And what is Jesus expecting of us when it gets to the kingdom? And, it's strange how we forget how God spoke to His people and how God ruled over His people through the years. First, God started with a covenant with His people through Abram. And He spoke to His people through covenant relationships. And then we see the picture of from Abram to Moses, where God led His people from Egypt into the promised land through a leader called Moses and Aaron. And then God would go from there and start to speak through the judges, the kings, and then God would start to speak through the prophets. Now, I'm going to get to it later on, speaking through the prophets, God then moved to a place where He made the promise to His people that He would send His Son. And so this whole idea of God meeting with His people was made true through a person. And if we want to know what is the solution to the problems that we are facing, I can tell you every problem leads to the same place. The answer is Jesus. You know, for the first time, God's people could actually find themselves within a person that came to do two things. And this is now important. Now, I want you to, this morning, make these notes. The first one was to come and show the people how kingdom look like. Okay, so whatever Jesus did, He came to reinforce the Father's heart around kingdom. The second thing that was important was that He actually came to demonstrate it through His people. So Jesus came to duplicate the whole idea of kingdom dynamics in 12 men who could take it to the ends of the earth. And we're going to speak a lot about it this morning. And when Jesus left then, He left us the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to touch on it now. But the church and the community of believers is how God manifests Himself to the current people that He wants to get to. And, you know, it's beautiful to see how God does it corporately, because God is not speaking differently to Shofar than to any other church. His heart and His desire to commune with His people is to manifest Himself to all men. And whoever opens their hearts to receive will get the impartation of God the Father manifesting Himself to them. So Luke chapter 13, verse 18. I'm laying some groundwork here. Guys, please keep up with me. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to?" John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Now, what is that other place? And we're going to talk about it this morning. Now, there was a few conditions that Jesus came to lay down for us in order to enter this kingdom. Now, we know that Jesus says, "I am the door." Okay, so the only way that you can get to the Father is through the door. Now, you know what's beautiful about the door is you must go through a door to enter whatever the promise is. Is that not true? Why did Jesus compare Himself to be a door? Because if you want to get into this kingdom, you must enter and be transformed through whatever it costs to go through that door. And that is the expectation that He had from us. The condition that He is asking us is repent and believe, childlike faith and undivided heart. We know so many scriptures. I'm not going to deal with all of them this morning. And then the demands of the kingdom. Now, this is great demands. And I can tell you, within the society that we are living, this becomes more and more difficult. Because we want to be a law unto ourselves. We want to rule our own lives and we want to be in control of our own lives. But then again, Jesus came to establish a kingdom where we act upon the will of God, no lip service, but above lip service, coming into action and doing exactly what God is asking us to do. The second thing is, God is expecting us to have nothing stand in the way. There's no ways that we can look back when we enter into the kingdom. And it might demand a sacrifice, even our marriage and our family. We must sacrifice possessions, and I think you guys have it there. Is it on the board? Can I just quickly get there? Is it on that? It's not. All of them are not there. So sacrifice of positions, our possessions, and then a cut off whatever hinders us to follow the kingdom. And then enter through the narrow gate, Jesus said, and that we must actively storm the kingdom. Now, these are demands that Jesus actually placed upon His church in order for us to understand that it's a sacrificial life that we are entering. But now what is beautiful is what happened from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where 400 years went by until after the prophets, God started to speak again to his people. Now, with that, I can tell you that the day when Jesus left, he left the Holy Spirit. And I don't think we always understand how amazing it is that we have what we call in theological circles the age to come. The fact that we are in between times. The fact that when the Holy Spirit was imparted to us, we got to a place where we are already in the last days. Where we are in a dispensation where the time that we are living in brings an urgency of a deposit that the Holy Spirit came to leave in our lives. Now, Joel the prophet said that in the last days, and these were one of the last prophets in the Old Testament, he said, in the last days, young men will prophesy, and you know that one, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You know what's beautiful about that scripture is the promise that it brought to the Jews. Because all the time they knew that in Joel 2:28, that when the Holy Spirit come down and the deposit of the Holy Spirit will come down on the people, that will be the sign of the last days. Do you know that we are living in the last dispensation? We are living in the urgency of the already not yet. I just want to read this quickly. That urgency of already living in the time of the end was the eschatological framework that determined everything about them. How they lived, how they thought, and how they understood to be on its way out. They were living in between times, already the future begun, but not yet completely fulfilled. Travis explains, but while there is real evidence of the kingdom's power at work in individuals' lives and in creation of community embodying such goals and values, the kingdom's coming remains incomplete. And this brings us to a place where it's not just wishful thinking. This Holy Spirit that we receive and the power, and guys, I want you to really understand the urgency that we are living in. While we have this amazing deposit of the Holy Spirit, and Paul speaks about it, he says that the Holy Spirit did not just come as an helper, but as a deposit for things to come. Now, we know that a deposit, you always give because there's something following. Okay? The greater part is still coming. So, what we are living in, what Paul is speaking about, is the deposit of just a little bit of an experience of what is to come in the future and in the eternal life that we are entering into. So, this deposit leads us to a place where we get glimpses of the eternity and the eternal values that we will have when Jesus will be coming back and take us into eternity. But the amazing thing about it is that we are already living through such amazing times of impartation where the Holy Spirit reveals Himself and God reveals Himself to us and His thoughts and His mind and His will to such an extent where we can actually say, God, it's amazing to live for you because I can see your plans and purposes because of your Holy Spirit. And then Paul speaks about the seal of acknowledgement because of the Holy Spirit that came into our lives. The fact that you and I find ourselves at a place where this seal comes to testify and conclude the deal that Jesus made with us. The fact that you and I, when we receive Jesus Christ, walks into a place of fulfillment in a life of purpose. So, the Holy Spirit brings us to the place, and I want to, Romans 8:23, is a beautiful scripture in this. And Paul understands this, and I want you to, before we get to the deeper stuff, want you to grasp Paul's understanding of what the Holy Spirit came to do. And the urgency that he had upon his life. Romans 8:23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we are in waiting for the full embodying of our bodies into what eternity will look like. For in the hope we were saved, now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Let me just read this quickly. It shows the tension of the already not yet and the eagerly awaiting hope to experience the final redemption of our bodies. We are adopted by God, and our final adoption will be when His Son returns. The whole earth and creation together with us groan eagerly for the awaited return of His Son. And this brings us to a place and an understanding of what the kingdom means for us now. Because while the Holy Spirit brings to us not a physical kingdom, but a kingdom of God that is revealed to us in the times that we are living, in the context that we are living, and that we can overcome every obstacle that is placed in our way, we find ourselves to become the victors that God wants us to be in the time that we're living. Let me tell you, there's nothing too hard in London for God to use us to overcome. Guys, we are here for a day such as this because God loves the UK. And His Holy Spirit within us brings us to an understanding of why we are living. And I want to just say, you know, I always wondered what this kingdom principle is about, and especially why Jesus came at the time that He came into the world. You know, would it not be better for Him to come at this day and age? If you think about the Facebook community and, you know, the TV and so many media influences that we could have used to portray the story of Christ. Would it not be better to send Jesus at a time such as this to London or to wherever to be crucified so that we can show the world what kingdom is all about? But I believe one of the things that if you look at history and the timing of God sending His Son was actually so beautiful, because the Roman Empire at this stage was ruling basically the world. And the way in which they did it was important in the context of Christ entering Jerusalem. Now, if you look at Roman Empire, it's different than the Persians and you know, so many other great communities or nations ruling over the earth, because they had a different focus. While the others were, if you would conquer a nation, you would plunder them and take all their possessions back to your nation, and you will enrich your nation. The Romans understood how to go to nations and actually, when they conquered them, made them do like the Romans do. And that's where the saying comes from: when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. Because in the midst of that, they always had the understanding of the impartation of the Roman Empire and the ideology of the Romans ruling the world. But they would go into societies, conquer those societies, and made them Romans. And understood that while doing that, they could actually proclaim a kingdom that went to the ends of the earth. So when Jesus came slap bang in the middle of the Jewish nation, being occupied by the Romans, it was actually the perfect time, I believe, for Jesus to speak about kingdom. Because people understood kingdom and kingdom principles and the rule of a king and overpowering nations at such a time. So Jesus could start with a conversation. And even today, I don't think we would understand, being in the United Kingdom, what it means to be under the Queen. If the Queen today would command and demand, I don't think even, you know, we would politely, you know, do exactly what she asked us to do. Is it not true, David? Okay. Because kingdom in the times that Jesus came was actually the king had subjects that he used and abused even to serve him as a king. Whatever the king wanted to do and how he wanted to conquer the world, that the subjects had to do. The beauty of the kingdom that we are in is that Jesus does not use us as subjects, but He calls us sons. And He says the world is eagerly awaiting sonship to be revealed to them, because that is the answer to the age that we are in. The fact that God wants to reveal to us the heart of the Father in saying, listen, I'm not the kind of king that use you as subjects, as slaves. And that's why we cannot say that we are slaves, because we're not. We serve as slaves because of a place of positioning ourselves as sons to the Father. And that's why Jesus came. He said, listen, I don't do anything without the Father and the Father's impartation in my life. I only come to do what the Father has imparted into my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because in the midst of the understanding of kingdom, I want to say, whenever kingdom is proclaimed in the Gospels and wherever in the Bible, it speaks of the rule and reign of God. And we'll get back to it later on, but in Matthew 13, we see the picture of the seed sower. And so often we get it wrong there, because we think that whatever the seed sower sows, that is the word of God, and it's not. Go and read that scripture, and we'll get to it later on. But guys, Matthew 13 speaks about the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the rule and reign of God in our lives. So wherever the news, the good news of the rule and reign of God is proclaimed, that is the seed that is sown. Are you with me this morning? It's important that you get these principles right before we go on. So there's two things about the kingdom that I want to just speak about this morning. The first one is that it's not a physical kingdom. Okay? Jesus did not come to raise up a Jesus UK. You know, a Jesus person that rules over the UK, and you must kiss his finger, and you know, whatever he says, and if he has a staff or whatever, you must do what he says. That's not what Jesus came to establish. He came to establish the rule and reign of God in people's lives. Okay, and we're going to speak about it this morning. But three things that Jesus came to establish. The three R's. The one is, Jesus came to reflect the Father. So whenever we in this world starts to get serious about what God is doing in our lives, we must first reflect the greater light. It's like the moon, okay? The moon does not have any light of itself, but it reflects the light of the sun. And in doing so, it's beautiful. But our responsibility is not to be great people, but to reflect the greatness of God. Are you with me this morning? Because I think that many times we think, you know, I actually love that I said to Richard on at Utrecht as well, I love that one clip of Bono, you know, having a conversation with this guy that wrote the Message Bible. On the Psalms. And he said, you know the problem that I have with the church today is that people are not authentic. That if I read the Psalms, I see David running naked in front of, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. I see David making a lot of mistakes and being very open about it. But if I see Christians in society these days, I see people that wants to be perfect. And that is not what God called us to. Why can Christians not talk about their failure? Why can't they just talk about, you know, how cross they are with a government that's not, you know, doing well? Why can't Christians always not come to a place of sincerity where they can be honest about the pain and suffering that this life brings? And I want to say to you, Christians, you're not supposed to be that perfect. You're just supposed to share whatever God is doing in your life. And sometimes it's a painful process. Sometimes, you know, for me, it's not nice to lift up my hands and stand here in front of you and worship God. I do it because of a choice. Because I know that I'm a fallible human being that stands in front of God, and I have a lot of mistakes. But I know, you know, the God that I'm serving does awesome things in my life. You know, when I reflect Him, I see the beauty of His face. The second R is the one of represent. We represent Him, and you know, God chose the opportunity to use us as His people to represent him here on earth. Jesus said, whatever I do here is a display of what the Father is. Because me, Jesus, you know, I only do what the Father is expecting him. And so Jesus left the 12 guys and he said, you're not perfect, but guys, move in the faith and the understanding that I've made you more than conquerors in the times that you are living. And then the third thing about Jesus is coming to establish his kingdom is the one of reproduce. The fact that you and I are here on earth to reproduce whatever we received from God. And I think this is the solution of many of our problems. We talk about unity this morning, and I can tell you, unity does not come through agreeing on things, on information. It's an overlap of the heart. And that only happens through a place of relationship and the understanding that God has placed people together to fulfill his function and represent him here on earth. But it happens through reproduction. And I think in the church today, there's too many loose cannons and people running around and doing their own thing and illegitimate sons that don't understand the promises and purposes of God. They just want to do their own thing and they don't understand that one of the things that was most important to Jesus was his 12 disciples. Was the fact that if he failed in everything, you know, Jesus said, I think it's in Luke 5, let the guy that knows the Bible by heart help us write. But I think it's in Luke 5, Jesus said, I already completed the work that the Father sent me to. Now, this was before Jesus went to the cross. And I was asking myself so many times, you know, why did Jesus say, I completed the work? Because of the relationships around him. Because Jesus understood that the gospel is not about preaching. Are you with me this morning? Guys, I want to say this. There's a lot of preaching going around and people's lives are not busy changing. Because we are not reproducing. We are not displaying the heart of the Father into other people and helping them to become what Christ has called them to. I know one of the things that me and my wife must just remind ourselves every time when we are serving in the ministry is God has called us to help me now to raise up people that will become greater than we will ever be. If that is not your heart's desire, you don't have an apostolic understanding of the kingdom and where God is going. Because it's not about you. It's about what God can do through you and imparting into people's lives. You must get it this morning, guys. We need to be on the same page on this. This
second thing about
the kingdom is that God is
sovereign.
He's the king. This is not a democracy. And can I tell you, from where we are coming from as people living in communities where democracy is the be all and end all of everything that you know we do in our politics and in our society, I've got a problem with this because our understanding and where we're coming from is wrong. Because democracy says that whatever suits you, that you vote for. Are you with me? The essence of democracy leads us to a place of self-indulgence. Because I'm not going to choose for this country whoever would rule this country the best. I'm choosing the kind of leader that will suit my needs the best. Are you with me? Are you with me, guys? This is important stuff. Because where the world is coming from, you always come out of the perspective of I can choose what suits me, and that is not how the kingdom works. Because in the kingdom, you do what the king decides. Because if the king decides, it means that you are on his page. And you are fulfilling his agenda. So can I just get that right this morning? Is guys, that serving in the kingdom and living Christian lives mean that you and I must reposition ourselves in our thinking. That we don't do in this church whatever the people feels. Now I'm on dangerous ground here. I've heard many churches saying, but you know, the people feel, the sheep feel that this is not, and they are hurting. And I'm telling you, let's not be the kind of church that follows the sheep but the King of Kings. If Jesus speaks, we follow. I want to just mention it this morning. Guys, you know what? You and I can only do or share what we've received. If you don't have a living relationship with God, if you don't have a living relationship with Jesus being the King of your life, you don't have anything to share. And it's an empty life. But Christians think that by enrolling in a church and getting membership of a church, you know, you're safe. I can tell you, I don't want to be in a place where I just receive salvation and I'm satisfied with it. I want to conquer with Christ. I want to come to the understanding that He speaks through me and He does things through me, and I can walk in faith and do whatever is on His agenda. Woo, guys, please, just quickly stand up. I can see you're getting tired. Yeah, is there an aircon or something? You're not used to this heat here in London, I can see. These are very important principles, and I don't want you to miss it this morning, guys. Because this can change your life if you get to the understanding of where God is moving. Okay? So, just stand for a minute. And within this, there's not a vague hope of something to come like the Jews are still experiencing today. You know, they're still waiting for a second coming, the Messiah to come. We already have Jesus. And He has decided to leave Himself with us through His eternal purposes and His Holy Spirit's deposit. This deposit is so precious. I can't see that, you know, that the days that we are living in, that we can live without the Holy Spirit. Because how can you live in a hope and an understanding of the grace of God if you don't have... Okay, you can sit down. Thanks, guys. You'll be all right. We'll make this one, eh? I can't see us living in the times of the urgency of the kingdom if we don't have a full understanding of what the Holy Spirit came to do in our lives. Let me just quickly read these scriptures. Jesus established the kingdom and left His Holy Spirit as a seal and a down payment. Matthew 12, verse 28. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, this is Jesus speaking Himself, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Has come upon you. It already has come, guys. Luke 11, verse 20. But if by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew 4:23. And He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Now, I want to just say it quickly. This means that we are not serving God because of what we can get from Him. This is an important building block this morning. You know what? My daughter is 12 years old, the eldest one, Annemarie. And I've seen it through the years grow on her. When I at first got home, you know, from England or wherever I would go, I would take these China toys. That's always a graceful, or the grace of God in your life if you're a dad. Those China toys there on the airport, actually on the other side. You don't buy it on this side. It's cheaper in South Africa. But they don't know that you buy it on the other side. Don't tell them, eh? But you know what? When you get home and you spend some time with them, that is the excitement and the expectation. Dad just opened that suitcase because in that suitcase must be something very nice, okay? And we have long discussions over the things and the stuff that I bought. But over the years, I can see my daughter, my eldest one, growing to the extent where she would actually be satisfied with me coming back home. Her greatest desire is to talk about what Dad experienced on the other side. She's growing. And can I just say that spiritual growth does not happen through time, like with physical growth. Physical growth, we need time. Spiritual growth happens through the decision to change and to be changed by God to the extent where He can take control of our lives. I see some Christians that is serving God for 20, 30 years and they are still children, wanting to serve Him because of what they can get from Him. And watch when a crisis comes. Then they run to God because their expectation was always, what can God do for me? There's some benefits in serving God. I'm not serving God because there's benefits. I'm serving God because of the amazing experience of having Him as a Father and sharing with Him His heart's desires for the world. Are you with me? I want to commune with Him. I want to have an understanding of the relationship with Him. And the strange thing is, the way that you experience the Father is how you're going to relate with Him and being in the kingdom with Him. You know, for Eve it was quite a thing, because of all the amazing stuff that was in the Garden of Eden, there was one thing that she was not supposed to do. Are you with me this morning? And so often, we serve God, and if there's one thing that is negative, we focus on that. Is it not so? Then we have a cruel master. Is it not so with the three guys that that the master gave some talents to, and when he came back, two of them said, "This is an amazing master. This guy is so blessed. You know, I want to just be with him forever." There was one guy that said, "This master is actually cruel, and he's a wicked master." Was it the same master? Guys, was it the same master? It was exactly the same master. But for those who could not understand that the fruit and the expectation of God, that whenever we serve Him, it leads us to the understanding of we will experience Him in how we relate to Him. If you want to be a slave to Him, you will experience Him as a slave. If you want to be a son, you will rule and reign with Him, and you will have the benefits of whatever that means. And you will get excited about different things than just your own agenda. Are you with me this morning? Guys, this is important. So, what I see in society today is the one of being the victim. Everyone is just always complaining about being the victims of society, of what is wrong. They cannot rule and reign because they are focusing on what they're not. You know what's so amazing about serving God and how you experience Him and how you relate to Him is, if He's a good Father, you know that even through your hardship, He will come through for you because He's a good Father. But if you cannot relate to Him that way, it's going to be very difficult to actually experience the fruit. So, Jesus wanted us to understand that there's a transformation that happens in our lives over time. And I want to just encourage you as a church, guys, don't pray for people to come into this church to get saved. Pray for people to become disciples. Because we always cling to, and I love to actually be very deliberate here. We proclaim three gospels. There's the gospel of the church. If you're in this church, woo, you know, the Shofar Church, this is an amazing church. Yeah, in this church, we do this and this, we do it. Guys, that's not the gospel. And then you get the gospel of salvation. And so many people in the church is at that place where they only proclaim, you know, you must give your heart to Jesus, you must give your... Giving your heart to Jesus is just the first step. My wedding day was just the first step into a relationship with my wife. It did not conclude or make us one. It was a deliberate decision from us to walk in a covenant relationship that will grow. And it's sometimes very difficult. Is it not, my wife? Good answer. Guys, we proclaim a gospel where we think that when you give your heart to Jesus, that is the, you know, amazing, we're going to have celebrations all the time. And what God is expecting us is to enter into a relationship with God the Father. You know, I love what that guy said to you, Richard, there in Utrecht, when he said, you know, when you write songs, the goal is not to have a nice song or to have a number one chart amazing song that would change the world through being on the charts. But to have a song that leads people to the presence of God. I want to say to you guys, we don't understand how God thinks. He's entering into a kind of relationship, a kingdom understanding where we build together with Him, and it's a process and an everlasting kingdom that He's building through generations. You know, I was just spending time with my kids the other day, you know, reading through some of the scriptures that actually they gave from the kiddies church. And as I was spending, it was the Ruth, the book of Ruth. And, you know, just reading it, and I was just actually, you know, as I read the whole book with them, I realized what Naomi really did. Naomi brought her daughter-in-law with her all the way to introduce her to Boaz and to make sure that she gets married to Boaz. Do you know who Boaz was? Boaz was the father, through Ruth, of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. And David had the lineage of Jesus through his family. If it was not because of the obedience, I'm not saying God could not use anyone else. That's not the theology that I'm saying today, but just the significance of God. You can use somebody like Ruth being obedient and saying, I will not leave my mother-in-law. I will stay with her because there's something special going on here. There's something about God moving all around her, and wherever she goes, God just gets unfolded in the society that she's living in. I'm following this woman. And she could give birth to a guy called Jesse. And guys, I want to just say to you, that is how God works. He's sovereign. He does things over generations and He breaks ground. And we don't understand our little part. And sometimes it's a painful part. Sometimes it means that we are being dishonored in society. It means that we are belittled in the midst of the society. But in God's greater plan, it serves His purposes. Him being the sovereign God. And we experience the benefits of being part of God's greater plan and purpose. Our satisfaction should not be in the benefits that we get, but in the sovereignty of God being proclaimed over this world. You know, being here in London, I'm so blessed. Because walking in the streets, I can just see God moving. The one thing that God said to me, Hercules, don't follow my hand, follow my face. We so often, as God's people, follow His hand wherever He's moving, and we as shofarites are very good at that. We see God moving, and you know, we get excited about it, and we do great exploits for God. But do you know that the heart of God is actually His face? To know His heart, why He's doing it, and where He's heading with this? Because the partnership that we receive with God the Father is the one where He celebrates the Son to come back to the house. And He can bring the fattened calf, and He can celebrate. Listen, we're going to rule together again. You're back in the house. You're serving the purposes that you should. John 14:15. If you love me, guys, please give me a few more minutes. You will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see you no more, see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and seeks them, he is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Strive with peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. 1 John 2:3 to 4. Guys, please keep up with me. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There is an expectation for us to grow, where we can do what the Father is expecting us to do. Are you with me? And can I just say, guys, I actually love what John Bevere says in his book, Good or God. It speaks about the principle that, you know, we so often in church circles receive God's grace as a covering. And many churches proclaim that. That through Jesus Christ, our sins are covered to the extent where we will receive eternity. Are you with me? So whatever sin we commit, we will see that being removed from us so that we will have freedom in Christ. But do you know that he also gave us the grace to overcome? The fact that he gave us the opportunity to actually live as victors, to overcome every obstacle that is coming our way. Listen to this scripture. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is Paul. Guys, listen to this scripture. 2 Peter 1:2-3. My grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Can I just say to you, guys, we are living lives of the sin that we commit being covered. Do you know that God has given you the power to overcome? And I want to just, you know, out of this relationship that we have with God, he says, you know, my Holy Spirit as the one that imparts grace. And I want to even encourage you to go and read 2 Timothy 4:2. I don't have time now, and Titus 2:15. But guys, it brings us to a place where God promised us that whatever obstacle come your way, I will make sure that you will have the grace to overcome. I'm praying the grace of God in my life every day. I say, God, it's not because of me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I'm so messed up. But God, because of your grace in me, operating in my life, I know that I can overcome. I can do whatever Christ has set forth for me to do. Are you with me? Guys, do you want to be overcomers? Or do you want to become the victims that the world portrays? Because I can promise you, society today gives sympathy to those who are victims. And the whole culture in society is focusing on, I'm a victim, and I just, have this problem, and, you know, people must feel sorry for me. And the problem with where society brings us is a place where we never become overcomers. Are you with me? Guys, everyone has something to say these days. If you're a minority group, you're actually leading the world. We're not in democracy. Forget about it. For where the world is heading at this stage, all the minority groups in the world is busy running the world. Because if you have a cause, you have something to live for. And people will give you sympathy and you can follow that cause. My problem with that is just that that is not where God is at. God is ruling and reigning over the nations because he is the God of the universe. He's the one who created everything that is around us. How can he not supply in every obstacle that we need to overcome? I'm a victor in Christ. I live because of the authority of God ruling and reigning in my life. Not because I'm following on my own agenda, because I'm following the agenda of the Father. You know, so you see that many churches will say that, you know, yeah, in this church, you know, we follow the grace of God. It's so amazing. You know, when you're in this church, we don't talk about what you're doing wrong. We're not going to fight with you. We're going to encourage you. Encouragement. I've got a problem with so many churches being so encouraging that they forgot what the Bible says, Colossians 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We fight for maturity within our body. Are you with me? That's why I love 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, which says, rebuke, exhort, reprove everyone of the household of faith. You know what we see in these days in people's lives? If you have a problem with a pastor or anyone saying something that you don't like, you just move to the next church. Are you with me? We don't understand the making of the kingdom that God has proclaimed. Because within that, I can promise you that we don't like to be rebuked. We don't like to be said that you're not that perfect. You know, you're not that amazing after all. And Paul says that in 2 Timothy 10, he says that you guys are puffed up. You know, you think that you are so spiritual, but yet you are missing God's grace upon your life. Now I want to say to you, believers of God, let's get to the place where we allow people to speak into our lives. Sometimes it's so difficult. Sometimes we really need the grace of God just to bite on our teeth and make sure that we don't say anything back to that person. I feel like it sometimes. Looks like you are too early in this church to do so. When a leader speaks into your life and you feel like, you know, please, you know, just look at your own house. Forget about me, you know. Look what's happening in your house. Is it not true, guys? Is it only in South Africa that these things happen? Does it happen here in London as well? We are so on the back foot always when people want to just speak into our lives and help us to grow. Now I want to say to you, especially in a society like this, in a first world country, I can see it. That we have so much that's working for us that we can easily create our own lives. And I'm seeing it in Canada, and also I'm not speaking against London. I've been in the Netherlands, they're even worse. Those Dutch people, ooh. I've got Dutch blood in me, so I can say that. Guys, whenever you get to a first world country, you see that people are so comfortable in creating their own worlds that they are not dependent on God. And that's why Paul would speak against the Corinthian church and saying that you're materialistically, you have come to a society that's focusing on material gain and being perfect because you have everything that you need. But I say that you're spiritually so poor. And I want to just say to you guys, we as the church of God should get to the place where we can understand that God has placed us in this world because we don't get things right. And we need Him desperately. I'm ending off with this, but I'm wanting to explain Matthew 13. Let me just read Romans 14:17 first. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:2. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, Matthew 13, and I'm ending off with that. For me, it's a beautiful part of scripture that I've actually wrestled through with God. Jesus is speaking about the parable of the sower. And let's just quickly read it. Then He spoke many things to them in parables. Please try to focus now. I know it's late already. But this is powerful. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he hears, let him hear. Now, this is the first parable in Matthew 13. Have you shared this with the guys here or not really? The parable of the sower, if you see it in Matthew 13, speaks of, as I said, the seed being the good news of the kingdom, the rule and reign of God. Who is the sower in this parable? There was an answer here. Okay, it actually says, whoever proclaims the gospel of the kingdom. So in this one, we'll get back to it because it's you're right in the next parable. So in this one, Jesus is saying that whoever shares the gospel of God's lordship, Jesus' lordship over people's lives, and they accept it, their lives will be transformed. What is the ground? Sorry? The people and their hearts, and they are accepting that message. Okay? And then we know that the seed is the gospel of the kingdom. Now let's go to the next parable, and I will quickly want to go through it. It would probably be, let me just see, chapter, keep up with me guys, please. 24. Can you skip a few slides? Verse 24 of chapter 13. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, and listen to this now, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came, go on, and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How does it then became tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you, go on, want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Is that the end of it? Then Jesus said to the sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parables of the tares of the field. I'm going to quickly explain it to you. So Jesus said, who is the sower here in this parable? Because it's progressing now. Who is? Okay, John. You were right after all. So Jesus now is the sower. Okay, what is the field in this parable? It says the sons of the kingdom. It's disciples. The sons of the kingdom. And what is the field? It says in this scripture, and I want you to go and read it because I can see that you're not switching on now. But it's important to get this one, because it says that this time around, the fields are the world. Do you know what the answer is to the world that we are living in? Woo! Are you still awake, guys? The sons of the kingdom being sown into the world so that Jesus can be proclaimed and his lordship can rule in the hearts of the people. Can we quickly stand? We can preach the gospel until we are blue in the face. I've watched this. I went to Marble Arch and, you know, so many other places in London. And you were, yeah, the guys, you know, proclaiming the kingdom and they sharing the word of God. But it's doing nothing. We can share the gospel till we're blue in the face. If you don't understand God's purpose and His economy in imparting into people's lives and raising up sons that can get into the kingdom, you're missing the point. And I want you guys to quickly just take me to the last part of the scriptures in Matthew 13 that you have there. And while you're doing it, I want to say, guys, the only way that you and I will see the gospel transforming people and that door to be valid in people's lives, if we impart that which we received. And we help people and get excited about what God is doing in their lives. You know what? This is a desperate community. I see people walking around and the first thing that they're telling you is, no, you know, I don't need Jesus. Who's Jesus? If it works for you, it's fine. But it's not working for me. Because they've not been transformed and experienced the love of God entering into their hearts. You can only testify of that which God has done in your life. And in doing so, the love of God will flow to the nations. I see so many desperate people. It's not difficult to, in London, speak to anyone and hear their hurt. Richard, just yesterday, you know, walked to the Weybridge congregation, and on his way, a guy picked him up to give him a lift. He was asking for some directions. And within those few seconds or minutes that they got to the other side, the guy just spilled his whole life telling the story. You know, is it not strange? I think that in the times that we are living, people are walking with so much pain and yet they don't know the answer. The answer is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we stand before you today in the understanding that Jesus, you came to display kingdom. And you came to share the heart of the Father with us. And so we know that, God, if you created us, then who better would know us and what we need? And this morning we stand in front of you and we say that we are only satisfied by being transformed by your Spirit within us. And Father, this morning we ask that you will breathe upon us, that in the midst of our circumstances, we can come and Father God, just experience your impartation. I pray for your impartation this morning. In the name of Jesus, become a living reality to every person standing here. Father, we realize that in sonship, raising up sons, and Father God, seeing your seed being multiplied in our hearts and in our lives, we can come to a place, Father God, where we can have the fullness of life. Can I get the worship team quickly in front? Richard. This morning, I want to say to you, you know, it's easy to play church. It's easy to come on a Sunday and think, you know, if I just have my message, then at least I can tick my box in being satisfied. And I don't want to live a life like that. I can promise you, you know, you being here this morning, I think you feel the same. That the kind of life issues that we are addressing in the times that we are living in brings us to a place of authenticity. I want to have a real life with Christ ruling. I want to have a relationship. I want to walk in the streets of London and know that I'm in the perfect place where God wants me to be for a time such as this. Because I know the heart of the Father. There's a reason for you being here for such a time as this. Because God's agenda is being displayed through you, your life. And you are the seed that Jesus, the Son of God, wants to come and sow into the communities that are living around you. In London as a city. You are the answer when you reflect God. But it's time to be transformed by what Christ can do in you. And this morning, all that I'm asking you, and I'm not here to, you know, to see numbers or to see people responding even because they must. I'm here because God is serious about your life. And meeting the Father means that you must make some conscious decisions in positioning yourself as a son and not a slave. Some of us are living as slaves. And society is doing with us whatever they want. Because we are not positioned in the will of the Father. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every person standing here. I pray that today, Father God, they will be able to be called the sons of the Almighty God. As we stand here, Father God, I know that your desire is to reveal yourself to them as a father, with a relationship with them that will reveal your love, your amazing love in their lives. We want to say, like Moses this morning, God, if you don't go with us, what will be the sign that we are your people if we don't know that you are walking with us? And Father, this morning we want to choose to follow you and to have you as the Lord of our lives, ruling and reigning because of your agenda being displayed. Not just lip service, not just, Father God, proclaiming that you are King, but doing whatever is necessary to know that the kingdom is about you transforming us. And as you stand here this morning, I want you to raise your hand if you want to reposition yourself from a slave to a son, to say, God, I want to hear your heart. I want to hear your heart to such an extent that I can intimately walk with you. Just raise your hand where you're standing. Because this morning I want to pray for you. Reposition us, oh God. God. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus that you will come and reveal yourself to your sons. That this morning, your adoption us into your fold brings us to a place of perfect understanding and over us. And I pray now, Father, that as we stand here in front of you, that you will impart your lavish presence and love in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. If you are here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, you've not received Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Maybe even you call yourself a Christian, but you don't have him as Lord of your life. And I want you to come to the front quickly so that God this morning can make you his son. Is there any such person this morning? Oh God. We know your Holy Spirit speaks to us. We want you to be the Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to end off with a song, Richard, if that is fine with you. But I want it to be a gentle song because I want to trust that this morning if you need to allow Christ to I don't know if no longer a slave is possible, is it? I want us to just stay in an act of worship, and for those who, you know, if you need to go, please do so. Just move silently out of the place so that we can respect what God is doing. But don't move out of this place before you're not repositioned. Allow God to come and do a thorough work in our lives. Amen. And then you're welcome to go, guys. Please come and we'll pray for you if you need some prayer. To facilitate that. But let's live a life of sonship. Okay. And not being tired.
When God speaks, we listen. It's the first thing we do, and then we receive and make His word part of us, and then we obey. Without claiming to be perfect. Someone said recently, the Apostle Paul lived through life concerned that people would think too much of him. And we're often the opposite. God knows we're not perfect. And I want to honour Hercules for speaking God's word to us. And we're not victims. We want to be victors, but to become a victor, we have to realize actually we're targets. A victim is random. I might be walking and it falls and it hits me. We're targets for the enemy because we're sons and daughters of God. So Amir Khan didn't win, but he put himself in the ring last night in Las Vegas, knowing he'd be a target. And he took his eye off his opponent and was taken out. And this is where that analogy breaks down. We're not in the ring on our own. When God splits a sea, He doesn't do it for an individual. He does it for a people. And I sense some of us, even we hear a sermon like this and we think of me, myself and I. But God split the sea so the whole nation could walk through. And how did He get a nation? By blood over the doorposts, so that the angel of death passed over. The nation started with families. So position ourselves as families within the people of God, not within Shofar, within the people of God, so that God can lead His people. And if you need a repositioning, then come to the front. It's just a simple transfer from where you are to here. And different ones of us will be here to pray with you. Just as the band continue to minister. If you need to leave, then leave. If you need to collect a child, perhaps, but you want to respond, then send somebody else to collect your child so that you can respond. Because I sense for some of us, what we do here will determine future for our children, even the children not yet born, what we do here and now. Position ourselves, having heard God's word, to make it part of yourself. And we'll minister, because God's got all day. But if you have a child and you know that they're going to be looking for you, perhaps send somebody else. But we'll be here to minister. Without imposing, the invitation is there to come and receive from God, from the God who is the Father of all. Every nation, every family on heaven and on earth, He is the Father, and He knows what His children need.